Nice to see everyone again. Hope everyone is well, chanting and dancing, taking prasad with enthusiasm. This Perth temple is a very cozy environment for rendering devotional service. All the devotees can inspire one another in attaining higher levels of Krishna consciousness. And in that way, they'll appreciate each other very much. People want to feel appreciated in the material world and also in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, we want to give appreciation to others. Actually, more than we should be hungry for appreciation for ourselves. You'll find that the more you can appreciate other devotees, the less you'll be harassed by the desire that you should be appreciated. This is very mystical. It's the same kind of paradox regarding service. It seems, from the perspective of the material energy, that the more you are master, the happier you'll be. But actually, the reverse is true in spiritual life. The more you are servant of the servant of the servant, the happier you are. And the more you try to lord it over, to be master, the more you become victimized by the material energy. This paradox is there about master and servant. Similarly, it is there about appreciation. Your cravings for appreciation sometimes get you into a lot of trouble. They make you do thoughtless things, associate with thoughtless people. But when you understand the art of how to give appreciation to other devotees, you find that more tasty than trying to satisfy his hankering for your own appreciation. So in a temple like this, it's easy to look around and see how you can appreciate others, what they're doing, how they're sacrificing, both at home and in the temple. And then your understanding of Krishna consciousness will widen. Always be on the lookout to see devotees who are trying to sacrifice something for Krishna's pleasure. In such situations, you'll find, what is bhakti yoga? You see, we want something to do with our loving propensity. That loving propensity is meant for Krishna. But, as we've heard so many times, in material life, we misplace, we misdirect our loving propensity. And therefore, we get into trouble, we get frustrated. Just like if you're trying to eat, you may have a very wonderful feast, but if you keep trying to stick the food in your ear and your nose and your eyes, it's not going to work out. The food should go to the mouth, and then it goes to the stomach, and the whole body is energized. Similarly, the loving propensity is meant for Krishna, but we keep trying to stick it everywhere else. And we wonder why we are frustrated, why we are angry. Why we are dull and unenlivened is because we are not doing the right thing with our loving propensity. So bhakti is about love, but we must know the art and science of love. It's like when I was in Singapore, I happened to pass by a television and they had on, in the USA, they're having this telethon where all the famous movie stars and famous singers were doing a benefit to raise money for the victims of the disaster in New York. And so many of these older pop stars were in their 50s and 60s and movie stars, and they were talking and singing, the world needs more love. Love is the answer. But no one knows what love is. These same people, I mean, there are names, big names from the 60s. They've been singing about love for 40 years. It hasn't made a bit of difference in the world, except their pockets are richer. But they're singing so profoundly. You know, love is the answer. Let the world fill with love. The problem is, if love means what these people think, then there's no hope. There'll always be strife, because what they think love is sense gratification without problem. That's called love. So it was very interesting to look and see these famous rock singers of the 60s now with long gray hair. I mean, I even recognize some of the faces, you know, 40 years ago, you know. They're still there with their guitar, electric guitar, you know, long hair, completely gray, you know. Singing about love, give love a chance, and, yeah. And in between, a movie star would, you know, give a speech, you know, about, you know, the horror that happened and the sacrifices people were making, and, you know, send in your contribution, and... Of course, these movie stars, the movies they've made, what has it done to people's consciousness? They're not aware of that. But they want peace in the world while they distribute their trashy movies everywhere. So I began to reflect, what would persons of other cultures think about this? Let us say, for example, you were a traditional Muslim in a Muslim country and you looked and saw this on the television screen. The guys with long gray hair, you know, sunglasses, and saying, love, we just got... What are you supposed to think, you know? One singer, you couldn't even... He didn't even know what gender he was. And what was he singing about? He was singing a song about, I will kiss away your pain because you take my breath away. Now, what this has to do with the tragedy in New York, I don't know. But it's supposed to soothe the heart, or in some way it's supposed to, you know, cause healing. You know? I will kiss away your pain because you take my breath away. And you couldn't even, you look at a guy, you could tell, he doesn't know what gender he is. And he was happy about it. You know? Yeah. Now, what do you expect? You know, these people in, you know, these... Third world countries, you know. What are they supposed to think about this, you know? You know, these are the guys who are the leaders of the world. You know, this is what I want my son or daughter to see. So therefore you have problems in the world. Not, of course, to justify anybody's horrible demoniac terrorism, but we have to see the faults on both sides. Rather than just sing songs about love, when nobody knows what love is. And then, of course, all these aged rock stars and movie stars, you know, at the end, they had a rousing chorus, God Bless America, the national song, one of them. So, well, I thought, well, okay, first of all, who is God? What is the nature of God? And why should God bless America? Why? I mean, just speaking impartially, why should God bless America? Or anywhere in this world, this present point in time? Yeah. You say, God bless Vrindavan, okay, I'll go. God bless Mayapur, okay. But if you say, all right, we'll be impartial, God bless Australia. Why? Yeah. Bless the heroin epidemic, you know. Why should God bless these places? Is there anything in these places going on that is reviving the God consciousness in terms of, you know, other than the little tiny endeavors of Krishna consciousness movement? Yeah. Very difficult to find anything else. Yeah. So here you had all these, you know, and you know where these musicians were at. They're in their 60s and you know they're still smoking dope. You know, they're still, you know. You know, if they're married at all, they're on their 10th wife, you know. So there they are with their guitars and their sunglasses and long gray hair and, you know, God bless America, you know. No, please, tell us something about God. No, can't do that. So you can see that in times of calamity, people's natural theistic instinct comes out. The time of calamity. Then they quickly forget about it and get back to the main business of sense gratification. So what is the outrage? The main outrage is, why can't there be world peace through sense gratification? What's wrong? Is that an unattainable goal? World peace through sense gratification. Seems so obvious. That's what everybody wants. Why do people have to blow up buildings? Why do people have to kill each other? They just need sense gratification. Therefore, people are bewildered. How could other persons do such a thing? Causing such harm. All they really want is a Ford parked next to their house. All they want is an electric dishwasher. All they really want is, cigarettes and movies from Hollywood. That's all they really need. Then they'll be happy. And actually, the people think that because some countries don't have these things, therefore they're causing problems. But if we give them these sacred consumer goods, then they'll be happy. They actually think like that. So the whole thing, the whole problem is because people do not know what is love. Unless you understand God, Krishna, you cannot understand love. You can say love, 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 night and day. You'll never understand. You can work for it, slave for it, die for it, cry for it. You'll never get it. So we are giving the most valuable contribution to society by giving education in what actually is love. Our devotees should be able to do that and demonstrate that. Even if one is a beginning devotee, you should be able to demonstrate that you are practicing a process by which you'll become aware of the fullness of real love. Part of that fullness of real love is that you're able to diagnose what are the things destroying real love. Sense gratification destroys real love. And you should know what are the things that increase the flow of real love. The nine processes of devotional service increase the flow of love. So this is what Krishna consciousness is about. Now in your devotional communities, you all should radiate a concern about how to develop real love, how to teach what is real love, and how to demonstrate it in your life. That's actually what all the things we do here are about. They're not just some kind of cold, mechanical things we do because we don't want to fall into Maya. So we got to do this, we got to do that. All because we're afraid of Maya. Yes, we should be afraid of the illusory energy because we are very tiny and Maya is very strong. But besides protecting us from Maya, these things that we do increase our attraction for Krishna. We should see how we are making spiritual advancement by becoming more attracted to Krishna. That is the test. Our material fever should be going down and our attraction for Krishna should increase. When your attraction for Krishna increases, you feel like serving him more. Have you ever woke up one morning and just, I feel like I want to serve? That means your Krishna consciousness is increasing. I really feel like I want to chant. I want to dance. I want to serve. Of course, I'm sure so many people have no problem waking up and saying, I really feel like taking prasad. That is also service. But you should feel that same appetite about all the processes of devotion. So you have to watch and see how much you have an appetite for rendering service. Otherwise, what happens if you don't have an appetite for serving Krishna? Watch and see how your appetite is for serving the illusory energy. The appetite has to go one way or another. Watch and see how dedicated you are for serving the kingdom of Maya. Becoming a slave of Maya. But you don't tell yourself those kind of things. What you do say is, well, I have responsibilities. I have many duties to do. Many people are depending on me. In this way, you empower yourself with unnecessary burdens, and then you feel good. Just see what I'm struggling under. I have a function in this world. I have a purpose for living. Jai Jai Gaur Nithai. In Bhakti Yoga, we directly face the facts that we have a loving propensity and something needs to be done about it. Nectar devotion is the science of bhakti, the presentation of the science of perfect love. We should hear it regularly. In that way we understand that there is such a thing as perfect emotion. Krishna consciousness is full of emotions. What we know as emotions in the material world are just a tiny sampling of the emotions in the spiritual world. So if you'd like to be emotional, then you should like bhakti yoga. So let's read some things. It's chapter 25. Devotees of Krishna. A person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is called a devotee of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami says that all the transcendental qualities discussed previously are also found in the devotees of Krishna. The devotees of Krishna can be classified into two groups. Those who are cultivating devotional service in order to enter into the transcendental kingdom, and those who are already in the perfectional stage of devotional service. A person who has attained the stage of attraction for Krishna, and who is not free from the material impasse, but who has qualified himself to enter into the kingdom of God, is called sadhaka. Sadhaka means one who is cultivating devotion in Krishna consciousness. The description of such a devotee is found in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said there that a person who has unflinching faith in and love for the personality of Godhead, who is in friendship with devotees of Krishna, and who is very merciful to the ignorant, raising them to the standard of devotional service, and who is uninterested in non-devotees, is considered to be situated in the position of cultivating devotional service. So all of you who want to be considered in that position, that you're cultivating devotional service, this is what you need to do. Have unflinching faith in and love for Krishna. Have friendship for the devotees. Be merciful to the ignorant by raising them to the standard of bhakti. And be uninterested in the association of non-devotees. Then you are considered to be a sadhaka. And you are qualified to enter into the kingdom of God if you continue in that way. So all of you here who are properly following the process of bhakti yoga, you are considered to be entering into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the fact is, if you go on properly, you will enter. Therefore, right now you are considered qualified, in that if you continue in this way, you will go. Just like if you have an unripe mango and a ripe mango. An unripe mango is still a mango. And you know that after some time, if the normal process of biological development goes on, the unripe mango will become ripe. Similarly, normally, if you continue on in your Krishna consciousness, you'll go to the spiritual kingdom. Based on this, you can learn how to respect all devotees. You can see all devotees who are sincerely following the process of Krishna consciousness as being qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. Meaning, even if they are unripe mangoes, they'll become ripe. We'll continue reading. When one is found shedding tears by hearing of the pastimes of the Lord, It is to be understood that the blazing fire of material existence will be extinguished by such watering. When there is shivering of the body and the hairs of the body stand up, it is to be understood that the devotee is nearing perfection. An example of a sadhaka cultivating devotional service is Bilba Mangala Thakur. You all know the story of Bilba Mangala Thakur, yes? How many know? Raise your hand. All right, we'll say it. It shows you how the heights of Krishna praying can be achieved even by a devotee who's starting off in very hedonistic circumstances. Bilba Mangala Thakur, he became so advanced in bhakti that he's known as Lila Shuka. He's the one who relishes the Lila, the pastimes of the Lord, and presents them in a very relishable way. Even though he was blind and living in Vrindavan, he could still see Krishna. Seeing Krishna does not depend on your physical vision. But how did Bilba Mangala Thakur start out? He was a wealthy young man who was very attached to a prostitute. And he would go see this prostitute in her house regularly. He was so attached to her that even when his own father died, Bilba Mangala would be, he'd tell the priest supervising the funeral ceremony, "Hurry, hurry, I have to go somewhere. Hurry, hurry, hurry." This is how attached he was to Chintamani. Make haste, let's get the job over with. Got things to do. So then they finished the funeral ceremony quickly, and he started on his way to her house in the midst of a huge storm, such rain and wind. He had to cross a river to her house. There was no boatman. It was so dangerous even to try to swim across. But still, he did it anyway. And the only way he made it to the other side was catching hold of what he thought was a log to bring him to the other side. When he got to the other side, he realized the so-called log was a dead body. Someone who had died in the storm. He didn't mind. Gotta have her. Where is she? So he walked on the land and came to her house. Around her house was a big wall. And the gate was locked. Is he too late? Oh no. No answer at the gate on the door. So he decided to scale the wall. That's how determined he was. So he climbed up the wall, grabbing onto a vine, and pulled himself over on the other side. But when he got to the other side, he realized the so-called vine was a poisonous snake he had grabbed onto. Never mind, it's no problem. He had his goal firmly in mind. And then he reaches the door and he knocks on the door amidst this huge storm. And the door opens and Chintamani, the prostitute, is there. And she just looks at him in shock. "Bilba Mangala, I can't believe you come to see me in such a night, such a storm. I can't believe it." She said, "If you were only attached to Krishna as much as you're attached to my temporary body, you'd go back home, back to God, and immediately." So as Prabhupada describes it, it was a momentous hour for Bilba Mangala. But, by the words of Chintamani, he remembered his dormant Krishna consciousness. So in that way, Chintamani's acting as his spiritual master. Even though she's a prostitute, he could hear his spiritual master speaking. So, Bilba Mangala Thakur, he came to his senses and he took up devotional service. He was going to go to Vrindavan. He was on his way to Vrindavan. But still, he was having these problems from lust. And he saw a beautiful wife of a brahmana. Well, maybe not a brahmana, just a beautiful lady. So Bilbo Mangala was a Brahmana. So he just straightforwardly asked the lady's husband, look, can I have something? And the husband said, well, you are a Brahmana. It's our duty to give you everything. He said, okay, I want your wife. So you see, it's not only in the present day that sometimes devotees have problems. So the lady's wife says, oh, you're a Brahmana, you take whatever you want. You want my wife, it's our duty to give you whatever you want. Please, you take. So he went with the wife to back room, and she let down her hair. You know, in Vedic culture, a woman only lets her hair down before her husband. Then Bilbo Mangala said, actually, and he called her mother, which meant he must have been having second thoughts. Can you please give me your hairpins? So, hairpins? Why do you want my hairpins? I have some business to do. So she gave him her hairpins, and he blotted out his eyes with them. These eyes have gotten me into so much trouble. Now, no more. So he blinded himself. And in that way, he continued on to Vrindavan. And he became deeply absorbed in the loving mellows of bhakti. To such a level that he's known as a great acharya in Krishna consciousness. Now, I don't recommend any of you start in this way. So he's given here a nectar devotion as an example of a sadhaka cultivating devotional service. When a devotee is never tired of executing devotional service and is always engaged in Krishna conscious activities, constantly relishing the transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna, he is called perfect. Never tired of executing devotional service. You may remember the sages at Naimasaranya telling this to Sukta Goswami in the first chapter, the first canto of Bhagavatam. Vayam tuna vichukyama uttama sloka vikrame yet chinvatam rasaganam swadhu swadhu pade pade. They were encouraging Sukta Goswami. They said, we never tire of hearing the glories of the Lord. We never tire of hearing the Lord who is worshipped with perfect prayers. Those who actually know the science of rasa, the taste of loving mellows, they relish these loving mellows at every step. Swadhu, swadhu, pare, pare. You can know that you're advancing in spiritual life when you're losing your fatigue that you think you feel when you chant, when you render other kinds of service, when you read. Everything about bhakti is ever fresh, but because our material senses are polluted, we may not immediately be able to taste the eternal freshness of anything in relation to Krishna. So we have to practice. Practice, 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 and your dormant taste for Krishna consciousness will revive. This perfectional stage can be achieved in two ways. One may achieve this stage of perfection by gradual progress in devotional service, or one may become perfect by the causeless mercy of Krishna, even though he has not executed all the details of devotional service. Now, how do we understand a devotee who has achieved perfection by regularly performing devotional service? You all should be interested in that because I'm sure all of you are trying to regularly perform devotional service. You have some understanding of what your life should be. You're not just hanging out. You're not just interested in some official religious belief. You're interested in the activity of the soul. How to love Krishna. Therefore, you should be interested in how it is that a devotee achieves perfection by regularly executing devotional service. There's the following nice statement in the third canto, 15th chapter, verse 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing a devotee who achieves perfection by regularly executing devotional service. A person who is freed from the false egotism of material existence, or an advanced mystic, is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God, known as Vaikuntha. Such a mystic becomes so joyful by constant execution of the regular principles of devotional service that he thereby achieves the special favor of the Supreme Lord. Once again, how's that? How do you achieve the special favor of the Supreme Lord? By becoming so joyful in constantly executing devotional service. You can practice now. When you start your day of practical service, another wonderful day in the kitchen. Wonderful it is to cook something for the Lord. Another wonderful day in the office, trying to decide, how we'll push on the affairs of the temple. Another wonderful day distributing books. You would like to be served by someone who has a very happy attitude to do it? Yes? Everybody likes that? Those who are married or who want to be married, that's what you dream of. Someone, gives you service with a smile. Yes, what would you like today? Yes, isn't that what it's all about? And your heartstrings just, Yes, what can I do for you today? And you just feel like, this is the greatest. We want that for ourselves. Why can't we do that for Krishna? What happens when it's time to serve Krishna?
I got to do that service. Can't you get somebody else, Prabhu? Why are you always asking me to do that service? I've already done it. Why isn't that those other Prabhus, they don't do anything. Why do I have to do all the service?
No, we should be constantly joyful that we have an opportunity to render service to the Lord. Of course, we have to take care of ourselves in such a way that we can continue doing devotional service. That's also related activity. Yamaraj, the mighty superintendent of death, is afraid to go near such a devotee. So we can imagine the potency of advanced devotional service, especially when devotees sit together and engage in talking of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those devotees express their feelings in such a way that they automatically melt with ecstasy, and many transcendental symptoms become manifested in their bodies. Anyone desiring advancement in devotional service must follow in the footsteps of such devotees. Prahlad Maharaj said that no one can attain the perfectional stage of devotional service without bowing down before exalted devotees. Learned sages like Markandeya Rishi attain perfection in devotional service simply by executing such regular principles of service. Even devotional service performed mechanically gradually will bring you the desired goal. This is how powerful the process of bhakti is. We should know what our goal is, and we should have a plan how to achieve our goal. Don't just hang out here. Be motivated to please Krishna's senses. Have some plan how gradually you'll do certain things and immediately you'll do other things. Have a sense of mission in your life, how to achieve perfection and go back to Godhead. Any questions?
Maharaj, you're saying that people like to be appreciated in life, and also devotees like to be appreciated in spiritual life. Is a desire to gain appreciation from others on any level, is that not a manifestation of pride?
It's a craving. You know what a craving is? It's a craving for sense gratification. You want to feel others' appreciation. Actually, we should want to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna will appreciate us. But you see, the focus is on rendering the service to the Lord in such a way that the Lord, in his own time, will take notice of you. A devotee actually thinks, I'm so tiny, but Krishna is so wonderful. I just want to help others to appreciate Krishna. But, you know, in the beginning, not everybody has such pure devotional motives. Therefore, it is a fact that appreciation helps devotees. Prabhu, you're really doing so nicely. I could not do so nicely. It's amazing how you distribute books every day, or how you go in the kitchen every day. It's amazing how you take care of your kids at home and still do so much service. I can't figure out how you do it. It's amazing. You're a mother who has children and you still chant your rounds. It's amazing you're a young teenager and still you're trying to practice Krishna consciousness. This appreciation helps. Certainly for our guests, appreciation helps them very much. How are you doing? So nice you've come today. How are you doing? How are things going? Doesn't that help? Yes. Not as soon as they walk in the door. Hey, where have you been? We haven't seen you around here for 3 months. What have you been doing, Maya? At the Bhaktivedanta Manor in England, I ran into one of my old godbrothers who I hadn't seen since, like, I don't know, maybe the early 80s. He was one of the main managers there, temple commander, and therefore his name was on everybody's tongue when you're a temple commander in a place like that, a big place like that. And he's been kind of absorbed in the material energy for many years now, but he came. And he was telling me how, I've been out there for 15 years or so now, and I just started coming to the temple again because I just ran out of devotees to blame for my situation. I just got to the end of the list. I couldn't come up with any more devotees to blame. So then I started coming around. It's very nice of him to be that honest. I couldn't figure out any more persons to blame for my spiritual problem. So I just had to realize it was me. So I started coming around. So all these kind of persons, they want to be encouraged. And here you should establish a very warm atmosphere of appreciation. That's a big look. We only appreciate Krishna. We don't give any sense gratification. We don't show appreciation for any devotees. Now, you have to act in such a way that people's service to Krishna increases. So actually, by appreciating others, you're not giving them sense gratification. You're pleasing Krishna, because by your efforts to appreciate other devotees, Krishna gets better service.
Just to clarify, what should be the consciousness then of the person who's getting the appreciation? Like, what direction should we try to enter?
It depends on who you're talking about. Yourself?
The most relevant.
Depends on what level of Krishna consciousness you're at and what you're aspiring for. What is your goal?
I'm just trying to see where the faults in personality are.
Well, what is your goal?
To become more devoted, to become more humble.
All right. If your goal is to become more devoted and humble, then when someone appreciates you, you simply think, I have no good qualities. The Lord's mercy is all I'm made of. Without the association of devotees, I'll just be a fool.
It's good to be said that if one renders more service, one is more likely to appreciate other service.
If one what?
Renders service regularly, one appreciates other efforts more readily.
It can seem like that, but sometimes devotees who keep themselves engaged in more for service, they don't know how to... Sometimes that happens. You become so absorbed in what I'm trying to do for Krishna, me, that we forget that we're serving Krishna in association of devotees. Yes?
At which time period did Yoga Mangala talk with you?
Oh, I've forgotten. Anyone know exactly?
I haven't lived for 600 years or something.
I do not know for sure, so I will not say. Any other questions? Ladies, no questions.
I'm not sure if they have like devotional service with joyful priorities, but you also see sometimes with devotees making progress, they become more and more aware of their shortcomings. So how can you still be joyful when you see the shortcomings?
Aren't you happy when you're able to see your shortcomings?
I think I
should be. Seeing the shortcomings is half the battle. You're halfway on the way to removing them. Once you can see them, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Tesham evanukam partham aham agana jantama. Out of compassion, I from within your heart reveal with the torchlight of knowledge. I chase out the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. Krishna illuminates your heart and you can see the faults. That's Krishna's mercy, you can see the faults. Worst thing is not to see them.
No.
Please be joyfully engaged.
One more question. You were thinking about the importance of effective devotion to the Lord. I was thinking like the spiritual paths, like Christians or probably every path, there you get very kind people who have it. In some ways seem to have a mood of devotion to the Lord. So it might be possible in other religious traditions, apart from...
Yes, other religions, other theistic religions, they are dealing with bhakti, but in a very simple way. Certainly Jesus Christ taught bhakti, but very plain and simple. Mohammed taught bhakti, he said everyone is a servant of God. Very plain and simple, though, because of the level of the people who these prophets were speaking to. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that, yes, all these religions are dealing with bhakti, but it's just very scant information.
Like someone could attain perfection by following these verses.
What do you mean by perfection?
Pure bhakti.
Then you have to know Krishna. It's like, let's say, someone just knows you, that you're a woman, materially speaking, and that you live in Perth. Is that wrong? But is that the deepest truth about you? Okay, but it's not wrong. So similarly, some people say, there is God, He is the master, He is the controller. It's not wrong, but it's not the deepest understanding. Love means to become more deeply aware of the other person. The Krishna consciousness gives you the most comprehensive opportunity for becoming the most deeply aware of Krishna. No, we're not being sectarian when we say that. Otherwise, without this knowledge and this technique and process of bhakti for becoming more deeply aware of the Lord, all you have is religious sentimentalism as best. Just like these rock and roll, these rock singers, aged rock singers and movie stars I was talking about, you know, singing God Bless America. Please tell us something about God. Can't do that. Do your movies speak about God? Not one of those movie stars ever did a movie which had anything to do with raising anybody's God consciousness. But in time of catastrophe, God bless America. How many of those singers, you know, with their long gray hair, ever made a song which would elevate anybody's God consciousness? Okay, maybe one. There was one. He actually had devotees chant on some records he made with him back in the 70s or something. That was about it. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is needed so much. These books are needed so much, and we need to read the books and taste the fruit of these books. Okay, so I think that's all for tonight. We'll see everyone tomorrow somewhere. Yes? Hi, Hare Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada. Thank you.